All right, this is Centaur Views. My name is No Sense.
And this is Victoria.
This is a podcast where two Sagittarius people come together and give their opinionated views on cultural topics.
Disclaimer, you will be offended. Don't at me.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, why would you have a kid listening to this fucking podcast?
Disclaimer, you will get offended. Please don't at me.
All right, so this is Centaur Views. This is No Sense.
Yeah, this is your girl, Victoria.
And welcome to this week's show. Is there anything that we need to tell them? We're recording this show like 2 weeks before it releases. So we're not really going to be as talking about current events as much, I guess.
Semi, I am.
Alright, so yeah. We're gonna keep this shit going. But remember to follow us, share us, subscribe, Centaur Views. You can rate us on Apple, Spotify, Anchor. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram.
We still ain't got the Twitter. Well, I still ain't got the Twitter up, so y'all just be happy y'all got.
We got too much to say for Twitter.
Okay.
Alright. So we're gonna jump right into the 2 cents. Victoria. Go ahead.
Okay, because mine's real deep. You know, I got to go deep. So, this is full circle. This is how my Sagittarius mind works. Everything is fucking connected, right? So, I remember when my kids were in school, and they're not in school right now. But when they were in school, last semester.
But they were of age to still go to school. They're just going to be homeschooled.
Yes. But when they were in school,
I just don't want people thinking that you got like kids that graduated. Like,
how old my kids is? That's besides the point. Okay, so when they were in school last
semester, people might think you a cougar out here.
I am. So any dudes that's over the age of 27, hit my inbox. So you gotta have at least a job and a car. Where you work at, that's your business, but. And I like to eat, okay? No, that sounds weird.
You do.
Feed me.
You do. That's
just, feed me this dick. Like, I got issues. No, back to the kids though. The kids. So when the when they were in school, they learned about the bubonic plague and the Renaissance period. And I was just thinking about, like, I saw, like, on Twitter, they were saying that the cosmic landscape is the exact same as it was back when we had the bubonic plague.
I didn't know.
Astrology is a science. Okay. It is studied. It is researched for hundreds of years.
But they wasn't here hundreds of years ago.
There's resources out there. Okay, continue. So, Thursday, I had to think about it. Okay, so we learned about the bubonic plague, and I saw the similarities, read somewhere the similarities of the cosmic planets as if it was right now. So, last year, I've always said that, like, 2019 is, like, the ignition to a crazy-ass new world. Like, the pendulum is swinging, and everything that was is not going to be anymore, and we're going to do a whole flip-flop. So, I'm thinking, like, Thursday I had a whole breakdown, like, crying, like, oh, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm making it really cavalier now, but I really had a rough time in here because I'm a Sagittarius. I want what I want when I want it, when I want it now. And I wasn't get what I wanted, so it really broke my spirit. And I remember, it's going all the way down and deep. I just allowed myself the entire day to feel. The very next day, it came full circle with the passing and the transition of Chadwick Boseman. Like, right even before I found out the news, I used the Black Panther soundtrack to get me back to where I needed to be, to remind me who I was, what was my purpose. I'm the shit, bitch. Like, it reminded me everything that I forgot the day prior to. And I remember having a conversation with this guy, and he was reading some of my poetry, and he was like, you should do this and this and that with it. And I was like, really? I didn't even think of that. But I say all of that to make it here. Like, this time period, I feel as if we need to emphasize the arts. We need to create more. We need to draw more, make music. This is the time period where it really shines, where it's most important, because people, the Black Panther soundtrack for me was so, it was pivotal. Just to be acknowledged and validated in that way, and just to hear the growth throughout the album of this person and this king, it just, it saved my life. And so many other albums and songs have done that. So I've pledged myself to start writing more. I did 2 poems in 1 day, and I could have did more, but I was too gone. I was too emotional for it. But I want us to make attempt, all the artists out there, whether you sing, whether you dance, whether you draw, whether you write, whatever you do, create more. It doesn't matter if somebody understands your art. It doesn't matter if it makes sense. It doesn't matter if you sell anything. Create it, because I think we're going to ease onto a time period where that is going to be the currency. Like, we see Beyonce do Black is King. We see all the great works that Chadwick Boseman did, like the legacy he left behind. All of these people, the characters that he played changed history. And just to see, and I just remember the impact Black Panther had on children. Look, had on me as a grown ass woman. Like, I remember dressing up in my scarf and in my black and gold, prideful walking straight into the theater that day to see that movie. And I know as an artist myself, that is the goal, to have your legacy and your art outlive you. My pen name is Malele Ajali, and Swahili, it means eternal destiny. I chose that. It was given to me by a mentor, but it was fitting for me to use it as my pen name, because I want my art, my poems, my songs that I write, my words to outlive me, to mean something and to help somebody else get through tough times, just like the Black Panther album did for me. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. It's all on you, player. I'm done. All
right.
That took a long whole rap.
My two cents is, I'm trying to figure out, like, where did we lose the definition of support?
Ooh.
Which me and you have talked about, actual, like, how you can support local artists, stuff like that, black businesses. But my thing is, when if McDonald's is my favorite restaurant, I don't pass a Burger King and be like, you know what, fuck the Whopper. We have a rivalry here in South Carolina between USC and Clemson. Clemson fans wear Clemson clothing, Clemson gear, Clemson jerseys. Gamecocks fans, likewise. They don't have, you're not going to go up to your job and see a Clemson fan that has a bunch of anti-Gamecock. So why is it that when we say Black Lives Matter, an All Lives Matter person says fuck Black Lives Matter? They don't promote their All Lives Matter. It's all anti that. So if you're a Trump supporter, why is everything that you spew anti-Biden, anti-black, anti-Democrat, anti-liberal? Like, where is that? What does that mean? Like, why is support turning into hate now? It's in every other outlet, but once you come to get to real issues, instead of saying, I stand for this, it's fuck what you stand for.
Basically.
like, you know, I have friends of all different backgrounds. I have friends who they voted for Trump the first time. They probably won't vote for Trump. But they're not anti what I am. But they're not anti what I am. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not anti you, Trey.
But I'm saying they're not. They're still like, fuck racism. They're still. But you have these people that all, you know, you can call them and say, oh, why you hating? Oh, well, no. I just support. Well, you don't say shit about Trump. Every post that you have is something going against somebody else.
That's not true support.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. When did the meaning of support switch to hate?
I think people don't understand words, period. Like, we don't. Because you'll say, we just had this conversation. I say this and then you tell me you don't understand. It's like, wait, what? Like, how I said what I said. Like, I don't understand. Why do you understand? Like, people think that words don't mean their meaning. And if you're in support of something, that's just it. You're supporting that. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go up against anything else.
That's just like, okay, this whole week, mm-hmm. LeBron, the NBA, they started with the Milwaukee Bucks. They boycotted, said, you know what, even though we're playing to put focus on Black Lives Matters and injustices, this ain't it. Let's go and rethink what we need to do. They stopped playing.
You mean that Jay-Z was right that kneeling was not enough?
But I'm saying what they were like. I'm just being sarcastic. But the message that they were playing, it was like, we're still playing and nothing is being done. Mm-hmm. So they stepped back, and it was people. Well, fuck the NBA. We don't. That, if you don't watch it, then why does it concern you? Why does that have to be where you put your focus on?
People are fake offended.
Exactly. You're not supporting anything. You just hate a certain stance.
I agree.
So that's my question. That's my two cents. Like, where the fuck did we lose the meaning of support?
You need to pick up a dictionary. I have a dictionary on my phone. Google is not just enough. You have to find out the etymology of the word.
They don't use Google either. What are you talking about?
It's just how it means. Like, why do people post stuff on Google? Come on, anybody know where the school's at? Nigga, Big Lots. Why are you asking Facebook? Like, what? Like, I'm sorry. That shit is funny. Yeah, they don't. But yeah, words matter. Use them wisely.
And if you support me, then please don't talk bad about somebody else. We all out here trying to live our lives and do the same thing. And you know we gonna sit there and we say it every day on podcast. We gonna support love more than anything. So
we say that?
We do. The world will be a better place. But what do I know? I'm just a black man in America.
This week we're gonna do the spotlight. I don't know why I thought we did him, but apparently we didn't. But Chadwick Boseman. I spoke on it earlier about finding out that he died on August 28th. He's a Sagittarius. Woo, woo. He's a November Sag at that, but it's okay. We here. He was born November 29th, 1976, and he was an American actor. He had historical roles in he played James Brown in Get On Up. He played Jackie Robinson in 2013. He played Thurgood Marshall in Marshall. I love that movie. Of course, he played Black Panther in the Marvel series. He was in Civil War, Black Panther, Endgame, and Infinity War. He also had a few other movies that he did on the side from that. He's an international star. He won an NAACP award in 2018, Screenwriters Actors Guild Award. He's a South Carolina native, which is very honorable to see somebody from our state be that successful. It's really inspiring. And we want to talk about him. He's a Howard University graduate. Apparently, he was married to someone by the name.
Yeah, he got married recently. Mm-hmm. He gave her pretty much the last. That was his dying wish, to be married to her.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. Yeah.
That's that thing, Chris Hart.
He was also in the Five Bloods and 21 Bridges. I couldn't remember what it was this time. But his death, like, it took me back. I was, like I said earlier, I was going through my own shit. Like, I ain't wanted to be here no more. I was looking around like, I'm tired of life, and I don't want to be here. I'm good on life. I just, somebody get me up out of here real fast, please. Ancestors, you hear me? But then the timing of his death was like, okay, you need to take a step back and just breathe. It affected me. Like, I cried Thursday for my shit, but Friday and Saturday, I cried for him. I cried for everybody and our people. I cried for my children. I cried for, I was just in here. A nigga was really in here being emotional. Right. And I don't know. It's inspiring to see him, like, actually go out for roles that wouldn't have gotten a lot of, like, see, when I saw 42, I was, like, for sure proud. I was like, oh my God, this is beautiful. When I saw Marshall, and I was like, my God, he is on to something. Like, just to exemplify these black men in our history that we don't really talk about. Like, yeah, we talk about, we know about Jackie Robinson, and we know that he broke barriers and everything.
We know the school report very much.
Yeah. But we don't know these men, per se. And I don't know. That's what prompted the whole thing. Like, right. Like, why am I... God gave me this gift to use words and to manipulate words to inspire people. Like, my words have... I've heard from people, like, your words done something to me. And why am I harboring my gift that God gave me when I could be out here inspiring other people? Just like Chadwick did. Like, I remember me and my homegirl, we took our income tax money and we took these little kids to go see Black Panther. And I remember these two little boys that lived with their grandma and they, like, in her 70s, 80s maybe, and she don't get around very well, but these two little boys were so excited to see Black Panther, like, just to see themselves. And then they said the whole movie, and they're like 6, 7 maybe, and I have children. You don't get kids to sit through nothing, like, at all. It's very hard. But they sat through the entire 2-hour movie just bright eyed and enamored to see people that look like them. And I don't recall, maybe Michael Jackson, but that was only for a certain amount of time. But I don't remember on a global scale, like on a very wide scale, seeing myself on TV, because I watched TGIF Friday. I was in Disney and Boy Meets World. Like, I see all these, like, white people on TV, but just to see action figures, T-shirts, like lunch boxes, all the pillows, like decorations, costumes and stuff. I don't think I ever, like, we celebrate Halloween really heavy in my family. I've never remembering dressing up like anybody black.
I think that's what it is. Black Panther to me was, it was my auntie calling me in tears when they announced that Barack won. Because they grew up, to them that was nothing that was tangible.
Right.
Our generation, millennials, we're more tolerable. So when Barack started, we were like, oh, he got this.
Yeah, because we had like Michael Jordan.
Yeah, we knew it was history, but, you know, it wasn't as meaningful as it was to them. Mm-hmm. But I think when Black Panther hit, that's when I got that feeling, because, you know, I'm a DC fan, so Batman has always been. And, you know, you always had the Supermans, the Batmans, the Captain Americas, the Wonder Womans. They've always looked a certain way. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man until recently. But
they were always white.
Yeah. Like, but I'm saying they had that was white. It was, but they did that because it was the commercial appeal. Mm-hmm. But the thing that you still have to grant it Stan Lee for was he made Black Panther knowing that he was making a statement.
Right.
So Black Panther was supposed to be as big as the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he came out and we knew that it was a black director and it was a black
writer.
Yes. And the star is black. And when it smashed records, when it did things for superhero movies that no other superhero movie could do. I mean, an Academy Award. Like, it just made you feel like everything.
Possible.
Yes.
Everything's possible.
You got dressed like you was going to church to yes. see a movie.
Nigga, we dressed to the nines going to see Black Panther. I had heels on going to the... Like, I strut. I had heels walking there. And then we part way, because it was so many people, we part way in the back at Sand Hill. And I strut my ass all the way up to the front. Like, I was right, because I had to represent.
And it was like I wrote a piece and I put it on Facebook, but Wakanda, everybody knew it was not a real place, but it was a spirit. Wakanda forever was a feeling. It was when you saw somebody, it was that heads up. It was like, I got this. We in this together. We united. Like, and you can't see us, but we're all doing it right now. But it was just a proudness that a movie could give you. And for us, for black people, we don't get that a lot.
We don't
go to a cinema and have this movie where we're left with our head high and we're not sad. And I remember a woman saying the women leads in the movie, they were strong, but they were strong because they were strong, not because they had to be.
Or they had to be.
Heartbreak story.
Yes.
And the bad guy had morals. It was just from a different point of view, and you can understand why he did it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just I'm this calculated menacing psychopath.
Right.
Everybody's point was heard and taken and respected because it meant that much, because we've been on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You've been the Malcolm X, you've been the Martin Luther King, you felt that. We're still feeling that to this day.
Right.
And I think just the fact that he embodied that, and he's to take that role knowing that you have this cancer in you, this disease in you, like, that's a strength that I don't think many of us could do. Like,
yeah, I don't want people to idolize his strength and try to feel like they have to when they don't feel like it. Because Thursday, when I say I gave up, like, I really gave up, I gave up, and I allowed myself to feel every bit of that defeat from start to finish. If you don't let people's boundaries and their starts and stop point dictate where you, if you don't feel like doing it, then don't do it. But it is great to acknowledge the strength of that man. Like, he knew he had a purpose to feel. He worked as if every day was his last.
Mm-hmm.
Truly. He knew that he had a purpose to fulfill these roles that were groundbreaking. Like, all the roles that he played were not just small roles. They actually meant something. They were men of honor. They were men of progression. These roles that he took, he was very specific in which roles he took, and he lived out his purpose.
And he told a story about he got fired for questioning the stereotype of a character that he was playing. He got fired after 2 episodes.
Right.
And he got replaced by Michael B. Jordan. And Michael B. Jordan said the same exact thing. He didn't like the stereotype of the character that he played. But it takes somebody to say, yeah, I'm not going to be here, but I'm still going to have the power to say what I want to put out there, what I want as my work when I leave, what my legacy is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest thing about it, is like, his work, as short as it is,
mm-hmm.
Black Panther is a legacy that no one will ever be able to take away from him because of what it did for so many young kids.
For adults.
For families.
For adults.
seeing denying them and Lupita, like, and seeing, I was just watching Black Panther and seeing him when he froze up and when he first saw Nakia, and I was like, I wish a nigga look at him. Like,
oh my god!
Just stop.
He loved her.
What? Like, and they weren't even together. Like, and he allowed her. He was like, okay, well, you can go. But he was like, she was like, I don't want to stop being a spy. And he was like, well, you know, I want you to be my queen too. I'm like, can a nigga look at me?
He don't need to sit down.
But that movie, it made it to where people like Ava DuVernay are going to prosper because they know that black creators can produce financial success.
Yeah.
And it's not just Tyler Perry.
But Tyler Perry has a catered audience. He's not worldwide. Yeah.
And Tyler Perry has broken barriers.
He has.
Yeah, I mean, not to take credit, but right, as far as that, yeah.
But that's the reason why Beyonce did black. I mean, could do Black is King.
Exactly.
Because
Disney would have never took him.
Yeah, that was the blueprint right there. If y'all can go to Africa and make money, because they swear Africa, we can't make no money in Africa. Well, if Black people can go to Africa and make money, and it could be internationally breaking barriers, then okay. It was easy for Beyonce to come in and do the same thing and have the same message. Mm-hmm. Even though whatever how you feel about the whole billionaire type thing, that's still the body of work. These artists actually diving into their purpose, tapping into their purposes and leaving positive imagery for people that are beyond them. That is what I took away from his life. Mm-hmm. Tapping into who you are, your God gifts, and leaving that you need to put the work out.
Creating a path.
A template. Yes.
And then his story is so, it makes you believe in destiny so well.
Yeah.
Because he went to, you know, to school
in D.C.
But
he
was poor. And Denzel paid for his classes.
Mm-hmm. And Felicia Rashad was
the teacher. What? Yeah, she's the one who got him, who went out and reached out to people like Denzel for them to get tuition.
And I thought this was so like weird and eerie. He did a tour at his school while he was at college, and guess who he gave a tour to? Angela Bassett.
Mm-hmm.
Who gave her a tour of his campus because he was a tour guide at his school. I was like, wow.
You can't tell me everything is not everything at all.
She's not your mama in a movie.
Now.
Like, and it's like, I don't know. It just really made me sad that it was just like, so soon. He's so young.
43 is young.
He's young, and it was just like, it was just like, I just can't believe that he was gone. Like, because like, I'm like a girl. Like, I knew nothing about the comic book and the Black Panther and the whole Avengers. I knew nothing. But when I saw it and I heard who was directing it and who was in it, I was like, okay. And me and my friends, we went and got our Black Panther t-shirts made, and we all went opening night, and then we all bought like extra tickets like that following weekend as well. And it was just like, it was a time, like,
to have pride.
Like, I spent, even when I didn't go to the show, I think I bought like maybe a total of like 5 tickets.
Wow.
And like, you know what I'm saying, we gave them to some of the other people that were that they were sold out. When we gave them to some of the people, but it was just like, everybody got to see it. I don't care how we getting everybody there, but everybody got to go.
Yeah, we paid for kids.
Everybody got to go.
It was like, if you want to bring your children,
we don't care. Like, because there was people that was there, and was like, oh my God, it's sold out. We were like, nope, we got you, sis.
It was almost as if it was required viewing.
Yeah. Most definitely.
That was a time when Black people came together collectively and had a sense of pride across the board, and it represented what we could be.
Yes.
In truth, Africa is the place that Wakanda was depicted to be. It is, but yeah, we're disconnected.
It not only represents what we can be, it represents what we are, what we come from. Like, that's what we are. We are those riches. We are those families. We are kings. We are queens. Like, we have to go back to that mindset to know, because we are actually the superheroes. Mm.
That is why we hold ourselves accountable.
Yes, you are the superhero in your story. I'm not a queen out in the streets, but in my home, I'm the queen. I am a god outside in the streets now. Let's be clear. But in my home, and then there's peasants. Like, I love history, And I know that there's a hierarchy and everything, and there are levels in every aspect of your life. There are levels. And no, I don't think that everybody there was okay. It's okay to, yeah, we were the merchants. Yeah, we were the doctors. We were the farmers and stuff. Yes. But in your story, in your universe, you are the king or queen of that universe. In the multiverse, yes, it's different. The queen of England ain't the queen over here. Like, that's just not how it works. But it's not even just Black Panther, like Marshall, 42, and just seeing him.
Like the commitment he made to a character. Like, you weren't worried about if he looked, because he was so Jamie Foxx and Ray, where you just saw the person, like you didn't see the actor. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like he took everything. He studied that person to where each characteristic had, you're like, that's James Brown. He didn't really look like James Brown.
Right, no.
But he did, he studied the moves. He studied the mannerisms, the speech, like to be that dedicated.
Mm-hmm. I gotta see James Get On Up Again. I saw him once. I really like Marshall.
I didn't know that he actually fought to have the African accent.
Oh yeah, he had Black to Panther. Learn that. He said
no. He fought to have that.
I didn't know that they fought. I remember him saying that he went back to Africa and he saw all of this. I think it was a Breakfast Club interview, and he was like, he wanted to learn it, like knowing a Sagittarius to Sagittarius, knowing how important it was to get it right. And the dedication behind that's admirable. That's inspiring. Like his whole, like, I really, the fact that I like just hours prior to that, listened to that Black Panther album to get me out of my funk. It was like, damn, really.
And I think one of the most, something that I think a lot of people are recognizing as well, is like, he had it for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And nobody in his circle leaked it. He didn't come out and say, people were talking about, oh, he's losing weight, he looks sick. He never came out and said it. He didn't want our sympathy.
Right.
He just wanted to make his movie, like do his art and make that his legacy. Like, in this day and age, it's unheard of.
I don't know about y'all, but y'all gonna get some. Y'all gonna, Malala Ajali coming out of the woodwork. Let me tell you, I'm inspired now. Like, y'all ready to get this words. Like,
that does his life, to know that he had been dealing with that for 4 years and still pushed through to play every single role and give it his all. That is beautiful. Because the way the cancer is described, it is painful.
It's very.
And to push through that, mm-hmm. to be like, yo, I'm gonna do this and be this person, because I want other kids to come up behind me and know that they can do it too. I want little Black boys and Black girls. Like, yo, that is so, it's selfless.
And he's on top now.
It's selfless.
To go out that way, I wouldn't want it another way. To go out that way, to be admired, like that's in the knowing
that he was dying. Like,
yeah, knowing that you fulfilled your purpose. Jesus. Like, that's
talk
the
about
true
peace.
Yes.
Talk about peace, man.
And I think it's crazy because all of this is in the same year. But we started our podcast about Kobe.
Right.
And it was the same feeling that Kobe ended. Like, we didn't, Jordan is retired, but Jordan.
We've already celebrated him.
Yeah, we celebrated him, but we've watched him and we've started judging him. Mm-hmm. With Kobe, it's like, we can't.
Right.
And it's like, because it's so sudden, and you just saw the movie, Tishana. Mm-hmm. I just got, but in The Sandlot, heroes get remembered, but legends never die.
Right.
Like, their legacy is there, and I did see something else, and it said, we lost our athletic hero in Kobe, we lost our civil rights hero in John Lewis, and now we lose our actual superhero in Chadwick Boseman. And it's like, we don't, like, we don't really get those. Mm-mm. It's once in a blue moon. If it is, they're going to tear them down. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go, you know. Will Smith, they already starting on him this year.
Right.
So
2020 is trash, man.
What did I? Yeah, we saw a headline that said Will Smith's. What did I send you?
The
Will Smith's
his bomb.
His
movie.
Bomb. His latest his bomb movie is coming to Disney. Like what? Like how is that a headline?
And it wasn't a bad movie.
No.
Gemini Man.
Oh, I love that movie.
Thank you. It was a good movie.
It was.
Okay, but I defer. But anyway, but it's just the fact that, like, his legacy is going to be intact because nobody had that chance to say, oh, we feel sorry.
Yeah.
Like, he nobody can say that it was sympathy. While we went to support someone who was dying. No, we went because of how good he was. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's just to think of, I know two people personally that, like, gone through cancer and chemo and one of them, you know, going through it now, and it's like the pain that they're in, the stress on the body, the wear and tear on the body, the mental, the emotional drain that it takes to go through chemo. And those movies that he did, it wasn't like he was just sitting down. Those were like action packed, he was moving. I cannot imagine.
Another thing that's for me, what I say, because my mom died of cancer, mm-hmm. and watching her for almost a year die mm-hmm. was a struggle. Mm. And the reason why, what I took away from it was like, everybody got a limited time. Like, we don't borrow time. Life is long, but life is very short. And if you're not living, I think because he was living through his purpose, that gave him strength.
Yeah.
Because I remember my mom was like, she'd rather be in there sitting up and doing cancer than getting chemo than being delivering mail, because she was a mail carrier.
Mm-hmm.
So that ain't cool.
Yeah, that's not what that's you're not supposed cool. to be doing.
That's not your purpose. You would rather be having cancer treatments and going through chemo than to be doing your job.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have a dream job. I want to live in my purpose. I want to be of service. I want to tap into what God gave me, and so I can leave something, a little note, a little trail, a little path for the people, the generations to come after me.
Yeah.
That's how you get through. That's how you get through.
I want to make sure that I have, like, fulfilled my purpose. Like, it ain't even about what I'm leaving behind. I want to know that when I go, I'm at peace with whatever happens. I have done whatever it is I'm supposed to do. Even if it's to leave nothing, whatever it is I am supposed to do, I want to make sure I have done it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate regrets. I hate that should've feeling. I don't like that.
That's why I'm falling in love.
I don't like that should've feeling.
Spending the love and the lost and love not at all. I love niggas. A hot ass.
Much
don't rub your face over there.
It was just sad. It's sad. It made me cry. It made my nephew cry. My nephew called me and was crying. I was just like, oh.
How old?
Asher's 10.
Oh my God. 10. My kids actually, they didn't know what I was talking about. Kamara was like, the man with the little dots on him. I was like, no, nigga, that's Killmonger. Never mind. I'm going back here and here to cry on myself.
He didn't know Chadwick Boseman, but he called. He texted me first and was like, Titi, you heard that Black Panther died? I was like, huh? And then he called me. It was like, he was crying. I was like, oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sad. It was very sad.
It was very sad.
This year started out some shit for me. It's just been on a roll. It's just been on a shitty roll.
I was good, too.
One of my friends said, 2020 is garbage. Not the garbage, man.
Spiritually, that's how you get to the awakening. That's why it's important to protect yourselves mentally, spiritually, energetically, financially. We gotta be
preserved.
You gotta preserve yourself.
Yeah, we just wanted to do a little spotlight on a person that really, you know, meant something to.
I'm the game. I'm the Sag game.
To the Sag, to the culture.
I'm Aries.
Just with everything.
But we own the game. You're the fire sign game. You can be in our game.
So, Yeah, just take some of these lessons, man, and just, man, live your purpose.
Live your life. Somebody cute. Hey. Yeah, we gonna go now.
Oh my God. It's time.
Hi, my name is Brian Holland. I'm an artist. You can see my artwork at B Holland Art at Instagram or on Facebook. Just wanted to, I was asked to talk about the passing of Chadwick recently, and how it affected me and how it affected the world around me. For me, not all celebrity deaths affect us or affect me, but this one felt personal in so many ways. One, coming from the perspective of a black man who was able to see this gentleman do something that no other black actor has done, and which is transform Hollywood. So before Black Panther came out, there was Black Hollywood and there was Hollywood. But as soon as Black Panther hit and became this global sensation, you saw this. It was literally a break in Hollywood, and everything transformed. We wanted a Black Ariel, and they were gonna give us a Black Ariel. They're gonna Black this and Black that, and that was because of Black Panther, right? a $1 billion movie, and it showed that the black dollar matter. And had that never happened, we'd still be in, you know, post Black Panther Hollywood, supporting roles, so forth. So as a fan, as a black man, that was a big deal. But as a human being, knowing that how severe colon cancer is, and for him to go through so much, so when I say so much, I mean the conditioning of a Marvel film and having to build his body and muscle, the strenuous schedules that Hollywood demands, and then. Crisscrossing around the world while going through chemotherapy and getting cut on and surgeries and so forth. But he did it with such humility and such grace, and no one knew. And that is a very painful experience, and to have to go through that without telling anyone, and then having to find it at stage three is even more wild, just because most people, if the doctor tells you, hey, you have stage three, that's almost like a death sentence, right? Most people would have just either gave up or told, you know, the world for sympathy or whatever. He did none of that. He pushed himself to the last day, and that speaks volumes on a human level, and what he was capable of, and it gives us some insight of what we're possibly capable of too. There's not a lot of men like him that are left in this era, and what I mean by that is that have dignity, that are humble, that want good for their people, and to push forward. With that being said, I know for me, this one was more personal than anything else, and he will truly be missed.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm Trent Fleming, younger brother of Trey, AKA Theodore. And so really, I just want to talk about like the state of our like society and like what we can do individually to make that, you know, to make that shift more real and sooner, and really just what Chadwick, you know, what his legacy was about and how his example kind of is a timely thing to talk about right now. Like, my clothing line is called The Last Shall Be, you know, and it stems from The Last Shall Be First and The First Shall Be Last. So what that means is, when you live in a world that calls itself a democracy per se, but understand that democracy will always fail the minority, because the democracy only works for the majority. So the minority will never be able to band together without a good chunk of the majority's influence and help in order to make an actual shift in anything in society, in a true democratic society. And so I just say that to say we have to release ourselves from these identities and release ourselves from these from all of these 100,000 different divisions that we put ourselves in, and we've got to see people for who they are, for their actions and their passions. And so I feel like if we do that and we put others first, then I think we'd be in a better situation. And so that's really, honestly, that's the brand message. I say that's like, you know, he died a very noble death. I mean, in the sense of, you know, just the character that we come to know him as or to come to resonate with him the most is obviously the Black Panther, what he played in that role and what that meant to not only us as, you know, adults, you know, Black adults who are, you know, into that genre of movie, of film. Like, we knew it was big for the kids, you know, we knew it was big for the youth to see that, you know, and so, and not just even Black youth, like even other people of other races, they were able to kind of resonate with a different kind of celebration in a little bit of a culture, a little bit of fictitious, yeah, obviously, but just they were able to celebrate an idea that hasn't necessarily always been celebrated in the sense of unity and peace and success and what that looks like for a community of Black people who are completely on their own and kind of doing well on their own. So I think it was a different picture. I think it was a beautiful picture that was to be seen, was to be imagined and interpreted from all that. And I think, you know, I think he had a huge role in that, but also in the fact of, like, how he affected people. Like, just his, I mean, he was a real guy. I mean, I just sit on platforms and look at all the stories about him and look at all the, you know, things. Like, in to be that moved and to be that touched by so many people in the world, you had to be only so real and so authentic. Like, I mean, you see people like our president, you know, and you think, you know, who would honestly miss you if you went right now? But, you know, when you think about people who really make you feel good about yourself, people who are just good natured people who got a good energy about them and are, you know, and are wise and are patient, you could tell that was all him. And he embodied that in his life. He embodied that in his struggle. You know, and it was a testament to his faith and to his character, you know, how he kind of even, you know, like, took his journey and kind of finished his story through everything. You know, he remained focused through the pain. You know, he felt like, you know, I feel like he knew the influence he had. And he was where his feet were in every role. It wasn't even just that role. It was Jackie was another one. He just touched many people. And you could tell he was a real guy, a real authentic. So the world felt that. Same with Kobe. Like, and that's crazy that I even bring that up, because it's been a long year. 2020 has given us a lot. But that one, you know, as far as for the culture, you know, that one was felt like.
Well, my name is Rihanna Davis. My name is Riri, R-I-R-I, art underscore. But ultimately, sorry, when I heard about Chadwick Boseman's death, I was shocked because 2020 is kind of trash. And then that was just like it for me. I kind of want to get a new year already. But yeah, he was very influential. I remember I first saw him. His first movie I saw of him was 42 when he played Jackie Robinson. And I thought he was cute. Thought he was much younger. And he was a native to South Carolina, so I was very proud of that. And him being Black Panther, I don't think anybody could replace him or will be able to. They shouldn't even try. And he was just influential. Like, everybody, like, he brought Black Panther to life. Like, I'm kind of a comic nerd, so I was already aware of that superhero. But, like, he made Black Panther mainstream, made him look cool. You know, the suit with all the vibranium and all the tech. Everybody wanted to be T'Challa, so it was just very sad when he passed away.
So, when I was asked to do this, of course it was an honor. Chadwick Boseman is an inspiration. He's an inspiration to the culture. And when I say the culture, I don't just mean like, you know, the Black culture, though he is one. I don't even, don't mean just that, but he's also an inspiration to not giving up. He's an inspiration to the acting culture, you know, as an actor. I remember when I first saw him, it was on Lincoln Heights. He was the estranged son to Eddie, who was the main character. And I remember seeing him, I was like, oh my God, this guy is freaking amazing, man. His range is crazy, you know? And I just remember thinking that, and it was a small role. And the few episodes he was on was always intense, but he had a range. He could give you like really upset. He'd give you the hood look. He'd give you the clean look. He really gave you a range of emotions and characters, and you believed all of them. So when I saw him on that, I kind of knew in the back of my head that he would be something, you know. But when I saw him, it was more like, wow, you know, he's doing it. He has a nice role, a speaking part, you know. So it was real cool. And then to look up, and next thing you know, he's 42. You know, and it was like, oh my God, like they chose him, you know. I wonder how he got it. And it was just, it's inspiration. And it made me feel like, you know, no matter how small you start, you can, your next step can be epic, you know, in terms of this acting thing and this entertainment thing. So, honestly, he's been a person that I've always admired him in terms of not just what he was capable of doing, but what he chose to do. You know, he was one of those people who didn't just accept the role because it was paying, or just because. He accepted roles that meant something, roles that put the our culture in the correct light. So, you know, Chadwick Boseman, him not being here will definitely be felt from everybody. You know, he was the first real big Black hero, and everybody talks about, you know, Black Panther, of course. But even beyond that, he was that symbol that said you can do anything. You can set your own goals and standards in this industry. And that's one of the things that he left with me. You know, you don't have to settle. And just because you start small doesn't mean you're going to stay small. Chadwick Boseman.
All right, so we pretty much did this episode as part of another episode, but we figured out that we had a lot to say about the passing of Chadwick Boseman. So we made it into an episode all itself, and I really want to thank Brian. You can find him on Instagram as b.hollinsart, and that's HOLLINSART, and Rihanna. And you can find her on at RIRI Trenton_art94, and also Trenton, which is my little brother, as he said, and his clothing line on Instagram is The Last Shall Be. And also, that last one was Corey John, who's an actor, producer, and director here in South Carolina. And we wanted their input because I wanted to show how much the passing of Chadwick Boseman affected different people from different backgrounds. Not just us as podcasters, but also people who were in the field of acting, people who were in the comic book, just, you know, people who just were young guys just brought into this world. So we started off our show this year with Legacy, and that was pretty much inspired by the passing of Kobe. And so it kind of full circles around that we're still in 2020, and we lose Chadwick Boseman in that, leaving with him leaving this legacy, not just the legacy of just his work, but the legacy of Black Panther, the legacy of showing that Black people can be on screen and we can make money, we can be a $1 billion box office smash. He gave hope for so many artistic creators out there. So I just felt like we just needed to put this out here, just to pay respects to just a great human being. A friend of mine said that he did it old school. You know, he didn't have to tell us like he was sick. He didn't need our sympathy. Like, he, to the day he passed, he gave us, he put everything into his work to make sure that that was his legacy, that what he's left. So for that, to his family, we're praying for you. To his spirit, man, thank you for what you brought to this world. And just like Victoria said earlier, like, concentrate on what you love, like what you're meant to do when you live your work, like when, like, your work is your gift, is your talent. Like, it's no longer work. Like, you can do it. The flu won't stop you. Cancer won't stop you. Like, it's everything in you is going to be motivated to do that. So remember that it's not a job when you're living out your dream, when you're living out what you're meant to do. And so you would do it. So just let that motivate you. If you write, write. If you sing, sing. If you act, act. Whatever you do, do it to the best of your capability. Because we don't know, you know, when our days are numbered. Unfortunately, Chadwick knew, but we all don't have that. So just like we always had at the end, just love each other, do good, and rest in peace, Chadwick.
In my culture, death is not the end. It's more of a stepping off point. You reach out with both hands and Bast and Sekhmet. They lead you into the green veld where you can run forever.